Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to the Tactical Traveler, the podcast where adventure meets precision and the journey is just as important as the destination. Bringing you the inside scoop on the most thrilling and efficient travel experiences. Each episode, we'll dive into the art of travel, from navigating off the beaten path destinations to mastering the art of packing like a pro. So buckle up, get your compass ready, and let's embark on a new adventure with Tactical Traveler. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Welcome to the Tactical Traveler. I'm excited to be back with you guys today. And I have a special guest with us all the way from Greece, Ruth Ansel. Ruth, how are you doing today?
Hey, John. Yeah, I'm doing really well. Thank you. Really well.
Awesome. Did I get your last name right?
Ansel, yes, you've got it correctly.
Good. So we met in a LinkedIn travel group. And yeah. I, for one, find your story pretty fascinating from our pre-call. You're right now in Greece. And I know for a lot of the American listeners, we are not actually getting story on what's happening across the world. What's it like in Greece right now, especially with COVID?
Okay, so I'm on an island that has 95% vaccination rate. It was recently featured on a BBC programme for the UK about how it's the most vaccinated part of Greece. And as from the 13th of September, they've recently, Greece as a country, upped their rules in regards to vaccination. So if you are unvaccinated and a resident of Greece, you now have to be tested twice a week at your own expense, which I think is €20 a test. Otherwise, you're not able to visit cinemas, inside eating areas, basically anything inside. Travellers to the island are under the same measures as well.
Okay. And also, you guys have been dealing with some pretty crazy wildfires, right?
Oh, gosh, yes. So it's been all across Europe in August, but I think Greece was hit the hardest. It was the hottest August on record, and massive forest fires broke out on a few of the islands. And the island that I'm on, you could see across to the island opposite, which is 2 hours away by ferry, and you could see it burning, this massive, massive forest fire that wiped out towns, villages. It was horrific.
Has that been like throughout the entire country? Has it been pretty isolated? Like, I mean, Greece is now open for tourism, right?
Yes, yeah, Greece is open for tourism. The forest fires have all been put out now. But a lot of the islands, they got so hot, all it would take is a discarded cigarette and vroom, that's it. This island here, it was on red alert. We had warnings sent to our phones. We weren't allowed to enter forests for a couple of weeks. I volunteered with a load of residents to go up into the forest at night time and look out for sparks so that we could react quickly in case there was a fire. It was a scary time.
Mm. Yeah, I remember when we were talking, you were talking about doing, you know, volunteering to help with that. So, you know, it's amazing on your part. So let's dig into your story. I wanted just to give the audience kind of a preview of what things are like in Greece. You're in Greece. You're alone. What are you doing?
What am I doing? Okay, so I came to Greece nearly 3 months ago as a start of an epic world tour. I've been doing a little bit of naughty cash in hand work, working for tips, been doing some kitchen work, but that in a heat wave wasn't a good idea and it didn't last very long. But I found a fantastic job waitressing in a beautiful cocktail bar and restaurant, and I've been doing that for over a month now, and that's been really, really good fun. So I've been basically working all night, sleeping till late, hitting the beach and then working again. It's been good fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell me about just deciding to move to Greece for 3 months and do a little bit of work. I mean I love it, the free spirit and just like to heck with the rest of the world, I'm just gonna go explore and adventure. But fill the audience in on who you were before this and what you were doing and what really moved you to take up this kind of lifestyle?
Okay, so I've always traveled, but never on a long-term basis. And my heart was always calling out for more of a life of travel. I have a background in retail management and running bars and restaurants. And basically, it got to the start of this year. With all the lockdowns that were happening in the UK, I was feeling quite suppressed, and I felt like I needed to spread my wings. I also was having a few little problems at work, which were disillusioning me. I was having problems in a not so great relationship, and also my son had moved out and brought his own home, and it all kind of happened all at the same time, and I thought, this is it, now or never. So I basically sold everything I owned, everything, even down to the pictures on my walls. I sold everything I owned and packed my suitcase and come to Greece.
Yeah, so Greece was your first stop.
Greece was my first stop. I'm only here for 10 more days now, and then I'm off to Cairo for a month.
Cairo for a month. Yeah, and so...
I've a little bit of work over there, doing a bit of teaching English. Not that I've ever taught English before, so I'm on a bit of a wing and a prayer there.
Right? That's cool. So you sell everything that you own to basically get out. And what's the plan? Like, so you're in Greece now, you're going to Cairo next. I mean, tell me about the vision of this. Tell me about where you see yourself 6 months, 9 months. I mean, how far out do you have it planned? Or are you kind of like just, you know, going by whatever feels best?
I'm literally going by whatever feels best. I have a loose plan in the sense that when I leave Cairo, I'm then crossing the border into Jordan, as I found a little bit of work there as a hotel receptionist in a hotel just by Petra, the ancient city of Petra. And I'm just kind of, I'm going with it. I'm seeing what pops up, and I've got no ties anymore, so I don't need to be anywhere. I can stay as long as the visa that I own allows me to stay in whichever country I'm in.
All right, so we've got Greece, Cairo, then Jordan. And you have a loose plan, which is cool, and I can't wait to see Petra myself where all do you want to go?
Some of the countries that I'd really, really love to visit, I don't think I'm ever going to get the opportunity to. I would love to be able to visit Saudi Arabia, to be able to visit Mecca, the history behind that. But I don't think that's ever going to happen for many, many reasons. And the same with Syria. I'd love to be able to explore Syria, Damascus in particular, but I don't think that's ever going to be something I'm going to see in my lifetime. So South America is calling next year, if I'm honest. Peru.
Peru's beautiful. Yeah. So, you know, I've actually talked with a couple of solo female travelers. And when you're starting to talk about Cairo, you're talking about Jordan, potentially Syria, and some of these other countries, what are you doing for safety? Like, how do you mitigate that? How do you personally handle all that?
Well, where I'm staying in Cairo, I'm renting a room with a lovely Egyptian lady and her mother. So I'm able to get some safety tips. I'm also quite prepared to be putting the brown hair dye on my hair. I've got a fake wedding ring I put on as well, my pretend husband, in case I'm ever approached.
Yeah. That's good.
Not making eye contact with groups of men and basically not being the friendly, open person that I would necessarily be in countries like Greece.
Right. Good. Well, you know, I encourage women to travel. I think that there is concern. There is things that you need to be aware of. But I think that by and large, if you just think it through and take some of the precautionary steps like that you have, that for the most part, women can travel and can travel by themselves and be relatively safe. And for the majority of the world, I know at least in, you know, most of Europe, they would be safe to solo travel, and most of the United States, and even probably most of South America. So that's good. It's good that you've thought that through. So Peru is going to be amazing. What makes you feel called to South America?
I guess it's the bucket list, that list of those must-see things before you die. So to work my way around South America, to visit the Amazon.
Yeah, that, you know, the Amazon, if you're talking Machu Picchu, there's just so many great things to see in South America. You think you're going to make your way to Argentina?
Argentina, absolutely. I planned before I croak to be able to visit every country in the world. So I'm sure at some point I'll get myself to Argentina.
Yeah. How many countries have you visited up till now?
Oh my goodness. I'd say over 30. Okay.
It's a little bit, I don't think people really understand that when you live in Europe, how easy it is to, you know, basically get 30, 40 countries. Like, you guys are all so close knit, distance wise. I mean, you can what, drive from the UK in the tunnel to France in 2 hours, right? 3 hours?
Absolutely. And where I live in Portsmouth, there's direct ferries that you can catch across to France, and you'll be there in 4 or 5 hours time, and ferries to Belgium, ferries to Spain. It's all really close.
It's, you know, I think I sent it to you. There's a guy on TikTok that's from the UK, and he's experiencing all this stuff from America, and they were showing him pictures of a moose in Alaska, and he was just like, it's bigger than my home.
Oh, they were hilarious.
Yeah. And I didn't realize this, but you guys don't have ranch dressing in the UK?
No, we don't. Well, I think we have a range in some stores by the actor Paul Newman. He's got like a dressing range. I think he's got a ranch dressing, but it's not something that we would use on an everyday basis. The British love ketchup.
I had no clue until I started watching some of his videos that stuff like ranch is a novelty. I mean, you always kind of know that there's certain things that aren't going to translate from the US to the UK. But it's just really funny when you start to think about no ranch dressing and he's just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And you're like, it's ranch dressing. You know, here's a really good question for you. So, you know, you're on this journey. You've sold everything you own. You're just traveling. How difficult has it been to find work? And how are you finding work? Are you like, you just like checking a local newspaper? I mean, tell me about that experience and how that's working.
Wow. It's been really, really easy and really, really random, to be fair, when it comes to work. At the moment, Greece have a furlough scheme, which Greeks are choosing to take 600 euros to not work. And there is so many job vacancies where they are choosing to stay at home rather than work, that companies are turning a blind eye to working visas this year, which has been really, really helpful for me. So the kitchen work, it was just a lady at a tennis club where I was swimming to say, are you looking for work? And I said, yes. And I walked into the job. It was, it's so random, but so easy. They're crying out for workers in Greece at the moment.
Why are the Greece people getting paid to stay at home? Is it because of COVID?
Because of COVID. Yeah, they call it, it's like a furlough scheme. They had it in the UK where businesses perhaps wouldn't be able to operate because there was no customers, no business. So the government were financing them. And so they'd rather take the government finance than actually go back to work.
Wow. Yeah, we, I mean, we did unemployment for everybody who lost their jobs due to COVID, and it was pretty good, but I didn't really, you know, it wasn't like you got a choice to stay home.
No, right. They have it in the UK as well. When we had lockdowns in the UK and shops and businesses closed down because we all had to stay at home, we were put onto a furlough scheme where we were still receiving up to 80% of our wages. I don't know what percentage of the wages the Greeks are receiving, but I know 600 euros is a lot of money out here.
So 600 euros is a lot of money in Greece?
Yeah, yes it is.
Oh my God.
I'm currently working for tips. I earn just under 40 euros a day as a waitress.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the euro is going, so that's what, probably $700 in American money?
I'm not sure. I let me work this out. It's going to be about $700, maybe a little bit more.
I was just reading an article, which I don't know if you know anything about it or not, but like you could actually for about $1,200 or 1,200 euros a month, maybe 1,400 euros, live pretty well in Portugal.
Yeah, I've read about that too. It's Portugal seems to be quite a free and easy country as well. I have looked into that.
Yeah, I was reading. So in America, you know, we can have a second passport if you meet certain criteria and all this stuff. And they were talking about that for a single person, if you make $600 a month and you spend 4 months in Portugal, and then set up an address and all that kind of stuff, that you can actually become a citizen in Portugal.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, wow. Like, that's so mind-blowing. I think to the American audience, that for that amount of money, you can do something like that. It's a really different mindset, I think, between Europeans and Americans, because you guys are so close that your countries are more like states for the United States. And it's hard for us because our country is so, you know, as far as land mass goes, so massive, to really kind of put that whole thing into context, like, and the economy and stuff like that. I was really shocked reading the article. I was like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah, and the UK is on exactly the same time zone as Portugal as well. That kind of shows you how close all these European countries are.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's definitely, you know, I haven't gotten to spend a ton of time in the UK. I got to spend 2 weeks in Ireland, and then I've done a couple of other countries. I spent 10 days in Romania and Moldova, and a dip into Transnistria. You know, I want to get over there and do more. And then I've spent about a month in Norway, maybe 3 weeks in Norway. So I've gotten some good experiences in Europe. And, you know, once all this COVID stuff kind of chills out, I would like to do a lot more.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
Talk to me about the, because I brought it up, the European Union, because they're requiring the COVID passport. The Europeans, by and large, are rejecting it and literally rioting in tons of countries over it. What countries are not included in that? I mean, the UK is no longer in the EU, right?
No, so the UK come out of the EU at the start of the year. So that's made things a little bit difficult to travel, because I can only stay in the EU countries now for 90 days, and then I have to leave for 90 days before I can come back for 90 days. So it's made things difficult with travel. There is protests every single weekend up in London, not though it's being documented on mainstream media, but there are big protests every single weekend in the capital.
So the Brits are very much against the passport vaccine.
It's very, very polarized.
Yeah, it's polarized everywhere. Like in the US, it's become a very, 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 very controversial issue. I've been joking with some of my friends, and even on the podcast, to be honest, as an American, I'm a little bit embarrassed that the French have started to riot and protest before the Americans have. I'm a little embarrassed.
Well, they have the French Revolution. They do like a revolution.
Right. Yeah. But for at least the last 120 years, they haven't really been the most outspoken people. So
they like a good strike instead. They like to down tools and sit at home.
You know, but it's really been, I don't know what the right word is, but it's really been isolated from Americans to find out that what we're feeling about COVID and the COVID vaccines and the COVID mandates is not a particularly American phenomenon, but that this is happening in Greece, it's happening in Italy, France, UK, it's happening in a bunch Spain has flat out said they're not going to do vaccine passports. They're open for tourism. Anybody can come. And we in America, unless you're watching other media sources from other countries, like, are not hearing anything about it.
It's the same. There's been a blanket across UK media, if I'm honest. It's only telling you one side of the story. It's not telling you the full story. It's difficult. Here in Greece, in where I'm working at the moment, the entire workforce, none of them have been vaccinated, and they have come from all different countries, from France, India, Albania, from other islands, from the UK, like myself, and not one single one of us has been vaccinated. And yet we have to check people's documentation before they're allowed into the indoor club. Yeah, it's okay for us as unvaccinated individuals to serve them. It makes no sense.
Yeah, none of it does. And many people, regardless of their, you know, political or national affiliations, are all kind of, you know, coming to the same conclusions.
I was first of all, when I got to the island, there was such a big stigma about not being vaccinated that I kind of hid my status a little bit, if asked, just so that people wouldn't pull their face mask up a little bit higher when around me. But when I started working at the cocktail bar and I started learning about the status of my co-workers, it was liberating. And the more people that I'm encountering now, they're all of the same sort of mindset. So I don't know whether that is because where they are travellers and they travel to work in different countries, maybe they have more of a well-rounded mindset towards things. I don't know. But we're all there under the same common denominator.
Right, right. So you started doing a blog, right?
Yeah, I started writing a blog, and I started up a YouTube channel from the moment that I landed in Greece for my adventure. And it's picking up traction. Just me on my little day-to-day basis of what I get up to. I had to kind of hide the fact that I've been working cash in hand because I don't want to get deported. But by the time this airs, I'll be out here. So it's not a problem.
All right. Right. So tell me a little bit about your blog and your YouTube channel. What are they primarily about? Your traveling, and how long have you had them, and kind of what's your strategy with it?
Okay, so it's all new. I've always had a dream of being a travel writer, and I thought I would be able to document my experiences and journeys on this new massive adventure at the grand old age of 43. So I set up a blog and I set up my YouTube channel so people can follow the journey that I'm on. And I've had so much support. It's been mind-blowing, actually. And it's been very strange because we're at such a small island. I can't even walk into town without holidaymakers going, "Oh, it's Ruth, it's the YouTube woman." And I keep getting caught for photographs, which is a bit odd.
Right. So what is your YouTube channel and your blog name so that the listeners can find it?
It's called Road Tripping Ruth.
Road Tripping Ruth.
Road Tripping Ruth.
Nice. That's great. And now, how many people are watching now, or how many views do you have?
I'm on over 20,000 views at the moment. So,
wow.
And it's picking up traction. And I've got viewers from all across the world, from Australia and America. It's been amazing. And the messages of support as well. And people have been following my Insta pictures, and I've joined some for travel tips and things, and they've helped encourage me with good ideas for my blog and YouTube. It's all new to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow, that's great. I mean, if you keep that kind of traction up, then you'll be able to work on the town when you want to, but you can actually end up monetizing the YouTube and the blog and getting it to where it pays you.
Wow, that would be the absolute dream, wouldn't it? That would be the dream. So it's slowly. But I don't mind actually kind of rolling my sleeves up and doing some hands-on work in the countries, because it's then that you get to meet the real people, the locals, and you get to learn more about them and life in the country.
Right, for sure. Talking about that, how much do you really estimate that you need to keep this up as long as you want to do it for? I mean, are you talking 1,000 a month, 2,000? I mean, what do you think your budget is for this kind of endeavor?
Well, so far I've broken even with doing all the evening bits and bobs that I've been doing. I literally have broken even thanks to all the tips and my little wage. I would say the most expensive thing is the flights. About 500 euro a month. But you can get that down a lot less by budgeting really carefully. I literally only buy what I need. I've become very frugal. I've become so frugal that my garden is just full of fruit, from like figs, pears, plums, lemons, and I've been on the fruit diet for on a month. I've saved so much money.
Nice. Great. So if people are listening today and they find you as inspiring as I do, what's the easiest way for them to contact you? Is it through Instagram? Is it through your YouTube, your blog? Well, how can somebody get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can contact me through Instagram. I love getting messages. So through Instagram, feel free to drop me a message in a comment on YouTube. I also have an email that I use for sort of like my professional stuff, and that is roadtrippingruth@outlook.com. And yes, you can always email that way.
That is awesome. Well, I am going to, in the show notes, put up your YouTube channel and your blog and your Instagram handle, so that anybody who wants to get a hold of you and stay in touch with you can. Ruth, thank you so much for coming on today. I love hearing about just the freedom that you have and that you're actually pursuing your dream and traveling the world. I mean, that's something that I think everybody should do at least for a bit in their life. So I just want to thank you for spending your time with me today.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me on here. It's so appreciated. It's fabulous.
No problem. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review to keep the adventure going. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the world tactically. Until then, keep your itineraries tight and your travel spirits adventurous. Safe travels, and see you next time on Tactical Traveler.